and Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back with her two sons, of whom the name of one was Gershom. For Moses said,
I have been a stranger in a foreign land.
And the name of the other was Eleazar. For he said, the God of my father was my help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. Now he had said to Moses,
I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her.
So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down, and kissed him. And they asked each other about their well-being, and they went into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them on the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. Then Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said,
Blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which they behaved proudly, he was above them.
Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifices to offer to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And so it was, on the next day, that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said,
What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?
Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me and I judge between one and another. And I make known the statutes of God and his laws.
The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace.
So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people. Rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. So they judged the people at all times. The hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land.
Well, hi friends and church family. It's February, the month of love, the month of family, and I genuinely hope and pray that you feel loved by your church family, and that you belong here, and that you know that God loves you. Yes, you, and so do we. We're journeying through the book of Exodus because it's more often relevant than we often give it credit for. Not only does it record history, but God's faithfulness to his kids, our call to be faithful to him, and the reality that we are all on an exodus from being slaves to sin to being free in Christ. It is a journey and one that often includes challenges, new obstacles, nagging old habits, feeling or being lost, complaining and rebelling, but most importantly, the presence of God to lead us forward. Today, we're looking at Exodus chapter 18, Jethro's visit to Moses. Jethro was Moses' father-in-law, so essentially this is the infamous fun and enjoyable time everyone has when your in-laws come to stay with you. Now, to make things more fun, Jethro was the priest of another religion. Talk about tension. That's like you're the president of the Teamsters Union, and Jimmy Pattison is your father-in-law. Or you're Trump's son, and your father-in-law is Bernie Sanders. Or it's like you're the leader of Antifa, and your father-in-law leads the NRA or something. Or it's like you're a third-generation Coke drinker, and your father-in-law is a Pepsi man. Now, it's not quite like that between Moses and Jethro. It's actually quite a welcome surprise that both Moses and Jethro model some healthy ways to interact with family. They actually highlight some of the benefits and, yes, blessing of family when those relationships walk in wisdom, even though they come from very different backgrounds and very different understandings. As we make some observations from this chapter today, I think you might want to grab a pen and paper and jot some thoughts down that you have along the way. First, I want us to look at Jethro, the father-in-law. First, Jethro came over to visit when things were good for his son-in-law. Talk about good timing. He helped Moses out by hosting his wife and kids when times were hard, when things were busy at work. And I want to say, parents, time your visits wisely. And help in ways that help your kids when times are hard. Second, Jethro was delighted about the favor of God in Moses' life. He wasn't one of those, you're never good enough parents. He congratulated Moses. He celebrated with him and showed sincere respect for Moses, Moses' God, and Moses' work. Third, Jethro was genuinely interested in Moses' personal welfare and the work he was doing, showing care and interest in the well-being and the interests of your kids does wonders. It includes listening well first. It includes genuinely learning or taking an interest in how they see life and what they are passionate about, asking good questions to learn more and rejoicing in the good and success of their life. Fourth, Jethro respected the truth, even when that truth negated his own traditions and beliefs. That demonstrates humility, genuine interest in learning and pursuing what is good and true. In verse 11, Jethro says, I know now that the Lord is greater than all other gods because his people have escaped from the proud and cruel Egyptians. That takes a big person. A humble father-in-law to submit to truth over ego. And when you combine all these different aspects of Jethro, the father-in-law, you can see how it creates a relational space for the blessing and benefits of family to flow. Which brings us to the place every parent wants to get to in their relationship with their adult children. Fifth, Jethro gave practical, helpful advice. This is perhaps the hardest part for parents to navigate because parents tend to see very clearly all the ways that their kids do things incorrectly. And they often find themselves biting their tongue, just hoping their adult children will reach out to them for advice. What I'd like to note here is that Jethro did those first four things really well before he offered advice. He timed his visit well. He served his kids in a practical way. He showed genuine interest in Moses, and he pursued truth over ego. All that before offering advice. The saying, "People don't care what you have to say until they know how much you care," rings true in every relationship. Additionally, it's important to note that Jethro's advice wasn't given from the perspective of "you're doing it all wrong." It was given from the perspective of concern. He says, you're working too hard and you deserve some time off. I have an idea that can both lighten your load and make you more productive. What a sales pitch. What a line. Jethro is a model father-in-law. And then Jethro delivers really. My final observation about Jethro is he knows when to leave. Another key to being a successful in-law in verse 27, it says, soon after, Moses said goodbye to his father-in-law who returned to his own land. It's always better to leave when people are wanting more, or leave on a high note, than when you've worn out your welcome. All right, that's enough on father-in-laws. By the way, you don't have to be a father-in-law to extrapolate Jethro's approach and wisdom for other relationships. Now it's time to learn from Moses, the son-in-law. First is that Moses didn't keep his wife and kids from seeing his in-laws. It can be tempting to write off in-laws, especially when they live differently than we do, when they have different beliefs or understandings, but Moses respected his in-laws and seems to be balanced and reasonable in his approach. Which brings us to our second observation about Mo. He respected his father-in-law. Did you catch verse 7? It says, so Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. He bowed to him respectfully and greeted him warmly. They asked each other about each other's health and then went to Moses' tent to talk further. This takes making a decision to be humble and to respect your elders. Third, a part of Moses' humility and respect included not only taking an interest in his father-in-law's health and hosting him warmly, but Moses was humble enough to bring his father-in-law into his work. It's an act of humility and vulnerability to invite an elder into your everyday life and work. It gives them a perspective where they can see not only what we do well, but what we do poorly. Humility and vulnerability go hand in hand. Fourth, Moses actually listened to his father-in-law's advice and followed his suggestions. He heeded to good advice. Well, can you imagine an adult child actually listening and following the advice of their elder? I'm impressed by Moses. But let's move on. There are a few more observations that we can make for leaders and parents. And parents, please know that you are leaders in your home. Parents and leaders don't have to do everything. In fact, they shouldn't be doing everything. Obviously, the ratio changes with age and ability, but with each year, our kids need to be taking on more responsibility, moving into using their judgment in more areas of their life, from moving from smaller to bigger things. And like Moses learned, probably sooner than we feel comfortable with. What is common among leaders and parents is we do more than we should. If you are weary or burnt out as a parent or leader, it's probably not because God's given you too much to do. Rather, it's probably because we're taking on more than God is asking of us in this season. And if our labor involves the raising of kids or the leading of others in the workplace, a church ministry, a school pack, or wherever, our weariness and burnout has more to do with us than with others. As those around us are able, we are to delegate responsibility. It's been a growing concern of mine and of many over the last 100 years in the West that we baby our kids too much. Delayed or prolonged adolescence is causing harm in society. And parents, our call is to raise adults, not big kids. As parents and leaders, we can either trend towards being control freaks, perfectionists, overprotective or coddling, and or lazy. Some of us can go to other extremes of all those aspects too, but generally speaking, our society leans towards delaying adolescence, and it impairs our children and society. Now, for us and them and society to work well, everyone needs to be doing what they are able to do, to be empowered to use their judgment as their ability allows them to. Leaders and parents are to discern the right timing and fit. I know what it's like to train a five-year-old to unload the dishwasher. It's painful. Water everywhere, things in the wrong place, putting too much weight on the rack and having to order a new one when it breaks, getting their thumb wedged in the drawer, and you could do it as a parent 10 times faster and better than a five-year-old. I should hope so. But I also know what it's like that after about 10 times of them doing it, they begin to build confidence, competence, and even ownership in the task. And it sets them up for the next level, loading the dishwasher, and on it goes. Leading and parenting well is not easy, but it is necessary and worthwhile. I have a lot to learn from Jethro and Moses as a parent, as a son-in-law, as a leader. My control freak, perfectionist, overprotecting, and our lazy tendencies can get the best of me. Now, in our church, for example, we're working at becoming healthier in this area as well. Now, for example, we're working on developing and releasing our pastors to share even more in the leading and feeding of our church family. Pastors Tom and Catherine and Renee all are taking on more. Additionally, our church council is growing in health as well. In the year to come, as I step down from chairing our council, I will release Jeremy Green to serve as the chair of our council. Additionally, other council members are going to be taking on more responsibility for different logistics within our church, whether it's dealing with insurance or a leaking roof or budget management. And that's good. It's a good thing. It's a good thing for me. It's a good thing for them. And it's a good thing for our church. We will be a healthier, more balanced, and more fruitful church as a result. Now, we've barely scratched the surface in all there is to mine from this chapter, but I think that's more than enough raw material and principles to process for one service together. I trust that God's word, the story of Exodus, has informed and inspired you to become more like Jesus in how we relate to family members and how we train up others in the way that they are to go and how we conduct ourselves as parents and or leaders in our world, that we really are in the disciple-raising, disciple-making business, that part of our exodus includes moving from having to have everything under our control and being like a slave driver to that of releasing and empowering others according to their gifting and ability that we might flourish as families, as a community, and as the people of God. Well, let me close our time together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we submit to your wisdom, to your gracious examples in history, to teach us, to train us in the way that we are to go. And I pray for each of us in whatever station or position we have in life, whether we're parents or grandparents, aunts or uncles, employers, employees, Lord, that we would lead our lives well in the wisdom that we can extract from your word for our lives and for our relationships. And I pray that whatever you have nudged or whispered or spoken to us today, we would allow it to go to work and actually be diligent to live it out, to change how we think and how we see and what we do with our life, Lord, that we might move from being slaves to sin to being free sons and daughters of yours, Lord, that we might be active and willing participants in this journey from slavery to freedom. Help us on our exodus today, Lord, that our families and our community and our church and our city and world might be more free as a result. We love you and we look to you today. In your name, amen. Well, I hope that message encouraged you. If you are in need of something, please reach out to us, parksidechurch.ca/connect. Now, I know that even though COVID has changed a lot, I'm sure encouraged by our children's ministry director, Miss Allie, who has been able to pivot and help our kids stay connected to this family and to Jesus. Here's an update from her now.
Hey, Parkside. Just wanted to give you guys an update on what we've been doing in children's ministry. We had an awesome, successful prayer leaf drive this past month in January, and I'm just so proud of the kids for stepping in and doing that, and thank you to the parents for bringing them here to drop the leaves off. I actually was totally blown away. No jokes aside from my Facebook post, but yeah, it was great. It was so nice to see the kids doing that, so thank you, and thank you to the kids. And going forward this month, we got theme being love, of course. It's February, so it's actually a super fun theme. We did a workshop yesterday with a few of the kids, making some little bookmarks for the Cedars to spread a little love in the community. So that's awesome. The kids enjoyed it. We did a little prayer time and just talked about loving on our neighbors and our community. So we'll keep doing a bit more of that throughout the month. Just finding ways to spread love. So Ron's got a great idea he's gonna work and push forward with. Ron Rabel wants to do a little campaign called Share the Love. So parents will sign up, and what'll happen is whoever signs up will get two gift bags full of little Valentine's goodies, one to keep for your family and one to give away to a teacher or somebody that needs to be shown some love in your neighborhood, neighbor, or just somebody else. So thanks, Ron, for that. And that's about it for February. We'll just be learning how to share love in our community.
Thanks, Allie. Hey, Parkside, please give your tithes and offerings this month. You can give online at parksidechurch.ca/give or send an e-transfer to donations@parksidechurch.ca. Thank you for being a generous people. Well, until next week, take care and God bless.
Couldn't feel me. A man's empty praise and treasures to fade are never enough. You came along and put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied. Better.